From South Dakota Public Broadcasting, this is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Jackson Dirks in Sioux Falls. Today we take a look at agriculture as planting season begins across the state, the latest on South Dakota's lone death row inmate, conversations around fertilizer transparency pricing, and even more. It's Friday, May 15th. Here are today's stories. Take a drive anywhere in the state, there's one thing you can't miss. Producers are out in the fields. That's because it's prime planting season for corn, soybeans, and other major crops. I stepped inside the tractor for a farmer's perspective on this vital time of year. Leftover, dead corn stalks are all that's left of the record 2025 harvest. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, South Dakota's corn grain yields topped 1 billion bushels. Though farmers would have preferred to see a higher price than the $3.80 per bushel average. That was after a tumultuous year involving tariffs and other economic uncertainties paired with high input costs. Some producers are seeking that same record yield. To do so, some are trying new techniques and methods to maximize their yields right now.
Yeah, other than that, man, I don't know. It's plant season.
Like Robert Lee in Kingsbury County. He's one of tens of thousands of South Dakota farmers hitting the fields to put crop in the ground, namely corn and soybeans, in search of a green bottom line. On this brisk, windy day, Lee's playing around with 10 acres of his land and planting differently.
Right now, standard corn is 30-inch rows, right? So what I'm going to do, I'm going to plant half the rate in 30 inches, and then I'm going to turn around and plant that same pass. I'm going to slide over 15 inches and plant the other half of the rate. That way I've got two rows that are 15 inches apart, but within that row each of them's planted at half the rate that it would be in a 30.
He explains the reasoning.
By spreading those plants evenly rather than stacking them up in a row 30 inches apart, by having one here, like spread them out left to right and forward and backwards more evenly, you should get, the theory is, like better capturing of the sun, and in theory, the more sun you capture, the more energy you produce, the more robust the plant is, right?
That's the main cog in the machine, though there are other factors at play, like shading the crop rows and weed suppression, Lee says. It's a technique he's seen from Wisconsin. Wisconsin produced over 19 million tons of corn silage in 2025, leading the nation. So, Lee says taking a page from their book could benefit his operation. He's planting corn for silage, heading to a nearby dairy. About an hour away, another family is in the process of planting. Amanda Goins and her husband are putting seeds in the ground in Clear Lake. They're planting corn, soybeans, oats, and also have livestock. She spoke with SDPB by phone. She says, so far, this planting season has been a lesson in patience. They were just finishing up calving when planting began.
So we were still feeding the cows, and so a little bit of a, you know, time constraint. Whenever I'd get home from work, I'd go feed the cows, so then the planter didn't have to shut down. Lately, I've had a few breakdowns, and of course that adds some stress and extra time, but, you know, it's still pretty early. We've had some frost warnings, so just need to remember, you know, that we're sitting okay on not trying to rush it.
Though that's nothing new for her or really any farmer in the state. She says her crop's coming off a pretty decent year.
Unfortunately, prices, just like this year, weren't super great, but that kind of goes with the territory. This year might be looking a little different. It's pretty dry, so that adds to the stress level also. Just, you know, low prices, and then you're low on moisture. So it's just kind of a waiting game.
This year, farmers are dealing with high inputs, especially on fertilizer and energy. That's because the U.S.-Iranian conflict has led to higher prices of crude oil. That's drastically increased the cost of diesel and nitrogen fertilizer, a key component to growing corn. The volatility is sure to impact many farmers' efforts to end the season profitable. Goins is among the 67% of Midwest producers who pre-booked fertilizer for this year.
Yeah, we were lucky. We did contract fuel right before the big spike, and same with, you know, some fertilizer and stuff, and we got some contracted beforehand.
Though she says that's not a magic fix to ending profitable.
It's still just nerve-wracking because you got high input costs, and then along the way you just don't know what you're going to run into as far as needing parts. And of course not all of it was contracted, so then you're still having to buy the high prices. So
One of the other lucky producers, as Goins put it, was Lee in Kingsbury County.
I got it by about 18 hours. I did the right thing, which is pretty rare that I actually do the right thing.
So whether it's geopolitics, tariffs, good rain, or any other force that could affect producers this season, they're in the fields preparing for what's to sprout in the fall. In Kingsbury County, South Dakota, I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks. With appeal options nearly exhausted, it appears likely the life of the state's lone death row inmate will end by way of lethal injection. The state attorney general says that execution is likely for the end of this year. SDPB CJ Keene reports.
Briley Piper was one of three convicted for the 2000 murder of Chester Allen Pogue in the Black Hills. Elijah Page was executed for his role in Pogue's death in 2007, while other accomplice Daryl Hoadley was sentenced to life in prison. Piper's death sentence comes despite his guilty plea. As the alleged ringleader in the killing, prosecution pushed for capital punishment, which was granted by Judge Warren Johnson. Attorney General and congressional candidate Marty Jackley says the appeals process has effectively closed.
It has now reached a position in the case where I'm able to say as Attorney General there will likely be a carrying out of the sentence around November or December of this year.
Jackley adds there are few avenues left for Piper's defense team.
There is a little more work to be done at the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals. The state prevailed on six major issues recently. There is a short time period that he can ask for what we call an en banc hearing. That is a hearing with all 11 active judges of the Eighth Circuit. It's fairly rare. I don't feel that will further delay it more than a few more days.
The death penalty and the inherent finality of execution remains a controversial issue nationwide, including states that utilize capital punishment like South Dakota. While Jackley inherited the Pogue murder and its sentences, he says he stands by the Johnson decision.
Justice delayed is justice denied. This is a 26-year-old case. There needs to be finality. My hope as Attorney General is before I leave that we're able to finalize a due process in that case, complete the execution, and that it's done constitutionally.
Family of victims, the inmates' legal representation, law enforcement, and journalists are often tasked with serving as witnesses to an execution. SDPB will continue to follow any developments in the Piper case. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Rapid City.
Fertilizer costs are at the forefront of many farmers' minds and at a recent U.S. Senate committee this week. Amid growing season, many farmers are feeling the pinch of higher fertilizer costs. Though in recent months that's been driven by the shutdown of a key trade path for urea fertilizer in the Persian Gulf, high prices aren't exactly new. At a U.S. Senate Committee on Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry meeting this week, U.S. Senator John Thune said it's important for Congress to continue its work on long-term solutions for agriculture.
All of the members of this committee know that rising input costs have been eating into producers' bottom lines over the last several years, particularly, I would add, the price of fertilizer. The steep increase would shrink or altogether eliminate any growers' profit margins even during times of strong commodity prices. So it needs to be addressed.
That's part of the reason Thune's bringing a bill to create more clarity to farmers around fertilizer pricing. It's called the Fertilizer Transparency Act. The bill requires the USDA to collect and publish data on fertilizer prices from manufacturers on a weekly basis. It's drawn support from both Republicans and Democrats in Congress. Trent Kubik is president of the South Dakota Corn Growers Association, and he spoke on the committee.
You know, we just want to understand this market. You know, time and time again, I found myself saying it, my neighbors saying it, that when the price of fertilizer is so high, we keep asking ourselves, why is it so high? You know, what is going on now? This one little event, you know, a couple months ago was easy to point to, but leading up to that, nobody knew that answer. And so we just want transparency in that for A, risk mitigation. So we can understand how we purchase our fertilizer early, when we do it, the trends, everything else, and just pull back some layers to see how our fertilizer, our main component, one of our main input components, is priced and priced to us.
Kubik told the committee the pricing in 2025 was so bad he didn't apply phosphate at his farm near Hamel because it did not make any economic sense to do so. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks. A Centerville man is sentenced to life in prison after being convicted in a triple homicide. 65-year-old Jay Ostrom received the sentence in Turner County Court. That's according to Attorney General Marty Jackley. Prosecutors say Ostrom fatally shot three people at a Centerville home in May of 2024. He was found guilty of three counts of first-degree murder earlier this year. Ostrom is a former mayor of Centerville and previously served as a deputy with the Turner County Sheriff's Office. Jackley calls the case complex and says the sentence provides justice for the victims. The South Dakota Supreme Court upholds the conviction of a man found guilty of sexually assaulting a minor. Tel Kadot of Rapid City was convicted of nine counts of first-degree rape. Court documents say the sexual abuse involved a child under Kadot's care. Kadot appealed the conviction, arguing the circuit court should have excluded certain photographs and that testimony from a detective constituted hearsay. The state's highest court rejected the appeal. Officials say more than 800 pounds of unused prescriptions were collected in South Dakota during the Spring Drug Takeback Day event. It's put on twice a year by the Drug Enforcement Administration. It lets people safely dispose of unused or expired medications at law enforcement agencies or other community partners. The DEA says the program gets rid of expired drugs and helps keep them off the streets. Since the program began in 2010, almost 20 tons of medications have been collected in South Dakota. Sioux Falls police say license plate readers led to the recovery of three stolen vehicles in a matter of days. Two of the three vehicles were stolen somewhere else in the state, one in Huron, another in Pennington County. Detectives say traffic cameras and license plate readers helped officers find the vehicles over the past week. This led to a total of four arrests, all on stolen vehicle and various drug charges. And that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube at SDPB News and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thanks for listening.